It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This holiday, BMW has reunited 3 members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I remember everything. That's why I'm a tank.
Hey, it's Verducci from EDH, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Sprinkle me, man.
Download the Odyssey app, 95.7 The Game. Thousands of other stations and millions of podcasts are free on the Odyssey app. Sports talk, music, news, great podcasts.
Yay!
Yay! Follow your favorite teams like the Niners and Warriors, stations and radio shows like Stardy and Goo. Catch amazing interviews you missed. Like with Tim Roy, joined Whirling and Dibs yesterday for a fun conversation about what happened at Clay Day. Boy, that was a lot of fun, man. That was a lot of fun, and the ratings were through the roof for Clay Day as the Warriors beat the Mavericks, and it was the best-case scenario for everybody. Clay played great. Steph played better. Somebody say, or Clay played good. Steph played great. Warriors win. They're 9-2. Dallas 5-6. A win-win for everybody there as everybody received captain hats. Jessica, I don't know if you saw this.
Lucky us.
As we get back into Niners in just a second, but the Captain Clay hats were going on sale on eBay.
I know. I brought that up, and like, people were selling them literally as the game was going on.
Oh, it was as the game was going on?
I saw multiple people post it on X while the game was going on. Hey, $180, captain hat already on sale. And I'm thinking to myself, did you go to the game and then immediately put it on eBay? Or did you go to the game, grab the hat, or somehow get the hat and go home and put it on eBay?
I got to look this up now. Captain Clay.
I think they were going for about $180.
Oh, see, Captain Clay.
It just boggles my mind that someone would actually pay $180 for a hat in general, but let alone that hat. Like, I mean, they're cool hats, but 180? Like,
the bobblehead stuff goes for a lot.
162, 150, 180,
see?
100.
See, all the bobbleheads, too. I don't even know if I'd do that.
100, 103, 122, 151. I see one, 237.
I mean, what are 50. We doing? Is that one, was that touched by Clay?
140, 209, 250, 285.
Yeah, if you spent $285, but then you see that $100 one, you're going to feel very silly.
You should have just went to the game.
No doubt.
Right? You should have spent the $100.
Well, I guess if you sell the hat, you can make the money back from the ticket, I guess.
Yeah. How much would you pay for it, Lovin?
Probably 5 cents, maybe. I'm not buying a hat that was a free giveaway. That's just me, though.
49ers. What do you think about the Seahawks, folks? 888-957-9570. Niners were, last time I checked, was 7-point favorites. 7-point favorites in the game. Right now, let me go NFL, because we have a good one tonight. Wow, why is that popping up here? NFL, upcoming. Oh, Niners, 6.5-point favorites against Seattle. The Seattle was 4-5 after losing a devastating game to the Rams at home in overtime. They've had a bye week, however. And DK will be back. Jackson Smith and Jigba is starting to make his imprint felt on this offense. Kenneth Walker III, I'm beginning to think, is going to play here, and he's a problem, too.
Their right tackle's back.
Right tackle's back. So, Abe Lucas and the Niners had trouble slowing down the Tampa Bay run game. So, I think this, you know, You can't get too comfortable after that win last week.
So the question is very simple. Did you learn anything from the Tampa Bay game? And I asked you, and I think the point about adversity is well taken. They are definitely a team that can fight and fight through things. The competitive level of this team is through the roof. And everybody saw the Debo thing as a bad thing. I took the silver lining out of it. Debo really cares about winning. And yeah, would I rather him not do that as a teammate? Probably. But there is a time and a place for an explosion. I'm a big believer in that.
Not mad at that.
Yeah, you know, like if you've been married a long time, you know that every now and then one of you has to explode a little. It's just good to let some of that steam off. It's, I believe, healthy. I learned about the 49ers that they really need Christian McCaffrey in the worst way to find a way to continue to just be out there week after week after week. And simultaneously, I learned again and was reminded again that this team needs to be offensive driven. Brock Purdy is going to have to carry this team with the offense and Kyle Shanahan with the offense. They are moving the ball left and right this year. They're out gaining opponents every single week. Where they're coming up short is in the red zone. They have a lot of red zone trips. They're just, we're talking about one extra touchdown a game. That's really all it comes down to. And that's why I go back to CMC. I do think having CMC out there healthy the rest of the way will make them that one touchdown better every single game. If I just gave them four extra points in every game, how does each game play out better?
No doubt. You get a couple blowouts here, get to rest your guys maybe a little bit and just have some easy games. But look, when you're the 49ers, you've been dominating the NFC for four of the last 5 years, you're going to get everybody's best shot. Mm-hmm. This is the NFL. It's not a league of weak men. These teams are good. There's a lot of parity. But it also is up for grabs this season. And the Niners know that, and the league knows it. And so with McCaffrey being back, and look, they weren't able to rectify their red zone woes last week against Tampa Bay. That's something that's going to be an ongoing issue, to your point. 18 of 38 in the red zone. You're a bona fide team when it comes to red zone efficiency. Well, last year, by far and away, you're one of the best teams in the league when it came to red zone efficiency. It was Baltimore, San Francisco, and everybody else. This year, you struggled in that department, so there's no doubt they got to get more touchdowns. And I think maybe with Juwan Jennings and the way he's playing, and the way Ricky Pearsall can run routes, because I saw the route running last week, and I said, wow, this is – Greg Cosell was on it. Because the first game I saw Pearsall against Kansas City, I didn't see it. I really didn't from the press. But I was like, wow, he's getting rerouted. I don't know.
I thought maybe it was underwhelming.
Maybe I was too hard on him.
No, I thought it was
underwhelming. Greg Cosell came back and was like, I actually like what I saw. And then we get to Tampa Bay, and I'm saying to myself, oh – yeah, I like what I saw in that game. And so moving forward in the red zone, you've been talking about this, pick plays, maybe more rub routes or whatnot. Getting Kittle or Juwan Jennings isolated in one-on-one situations with their big bodies. Or if you get Ricky Pearsall, who has great short area quickness and can get off a bump at the line of scrimmage, you have to utilize these guys in the red zone and make them touchdown makers. Make them touchdown makers. And they could do it. Or you could also use Purdy's legs. If we need to do some quarterback draws, we want to get him out there on the perimeter and he can run it. I know, hey, man, we don't want the quarterback hurt. Purdy's been moving his legs and he's been moving around very well. Maybe you got to use his legs a little more in the red area because he does have that quickness to get out there to the end zone to put that ball out there in front like Mahomes does. So you got to do something philosophically a little different here in the red zone this year because they're all over Christian McCaffrey, too. You saw that last week in the Tampa Bay. They're all over Christian McCaffrey. So you got to be... You know what it is? It's quite simple. When we look at the Warriors' offense, it's unpredictable. Because if it's not Steph, you see Buddy, you see Wiggins, or you see J.K., you see Draymond. It's become unpredictable offensively to go to State Warriors.
Balanced.
The Niners have become too predictable inside the red area.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt. And Ricky Pearsall, he was awesome on Sunday. Just awesome. They're going to point to the touchdown, but I thought he made a lot of really nice plays. Two on the final drive in particular.
That was a huge catch on the final drive.
And the one where he was breaking and Purdy's already throwing it before he even breaks. I mean, to have that level of trust.
Well, I was just going to say that. He's already trusted Pearsall.
This is why Purdy is a stud, you know? And look, I know every loss and every interception is an indictment on if Purdy's good or not. The guy's good. If you don't think he's good, no one is saying he's the greatest player to ever play the position. He's freaking good. Yep. If you can't see that he's freaking good, well, then I apologize for you. You clearly aren't, you know, well-versed in football, and you're entitled to having an opinion, but the guy's put up a body of work that's pretty comprehensive at this point. And when he's got guys around that can make some plays, yeah, you're going to win a lot of games. You're going to win a lot of games. Can he win the ultimate one? I don't know. There's a lot of guys that would love to be in Brock Purdy's shoes, winning a lot of games. And the question is, can you win the big one? Yep. You know, we're asking this morning about Caleb Williams, for example. Is he even good? Let alone, can he win a big one? And he's a rookie, right? I mean, come on. He's 10 weeks in with Eberflus. So we'll see.
This is why, though, I was skeptical. Remember, I went crazy because I was like, why are we bringing up Mahomes in the same sentence as Caleb Williams? Just let Caleb be Caleb. There's going to be some growing pains. And you play him right away in that city under Shane Waldron. Now, there's also Bear players who were saying, maybe we should play the backup. Maybe it's coming straight from DJ Moore. I don't know. But we got to let Caleb be Caleb, to my point. This is why I get really weird about this these days. It's like, man, Mahomes is great. Remember that? Caleb was getting compared to Patrick Mahomes out of nowhere. And I get it. It looks the same, but they were doing it to Dominic Raiola in Nebraska. He's a true freshman.
Well, that was completely different. Caleb was the clear-cut best player in the country for 2 straight
best player,
years.
But you're comparing him to the best player in the NFL.
No, I know, but that's what we do. Right?
And not only the best player in the NFL, people already think he's the greatest quarterback in NFL history.
Well, Mahomes is.
Then we're comparing Caleb to the greatest quarterback in history.
He throws his mannerisms in terms of how he tries to play the game. It, you know, you could see shades of it. I mean, it's like when people get compared to Steph Curry. It's a fool's errand, right?
Yeah,
or LeBron James or Michael Jordan. Those are fool's errands. But mannerisms are different than, like, that guy is going to be that guy. I separate the two. Like, right, you saw Mike Tomlin got interviewed this week. I don't know if you were watching it, but they were like, wow, Jaden Daniels, Lamar Jackson.
Oh, he goes, wait a minute. Mr. Jackson's in a whole different conversation.
Exactly.
MVPs.
You could be optimistic about Daniels,
right,
and not call him Lamar Jackson. But at the same time, I see what people are trying to go for in terms of the resemblance. I just think it's an unfair comp.
I thought it was unfair in real time at USC. It was like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Mahomes is one of one. Yeah, he's got some mannerisms. Sure, why not? But Caleb needs to start learning how to take his checkdowns, dude. You can't hold on to the ball and try to hit a home run every single play. That's what I'm seeing on film for him. He's holding on to the ball, and now he's looking at the rush. The rush is, I think he got sacked how many times last week? Nine?
Well, I just
was
said
it
that.
Six, seven, nine times? He was getting hit left and right. He had no time to throw. And all of a sudden, you're focusing on the rush instead of where you should be throwing the football at. So, Keenan Allen says something there. And then give Shanahan credit. One thing we know about Kyle Shanahan is he's not soft on his team. He will berate you if you don't do the right, if you're not doing the right assignments, if you're kind of off schedule here with this and that, and he will get into you. And he will let you know about it if you're not playing up to his standard. The big takeaway with Shane Waldron getting fired in Chicago is Keenan Allen came out and said yesterday, he was just a little too soft on us. You got to hold people accountable when it's time to hold people accountable. That's what Dean Shanahan does. And he's held his team accountable, and they're back on board here. This is a big game on Sunday against Seattle. There's no doubt. Huge game Sunday in Seattle because you want to keep rolling before you go on this two-game road trip to Green Bay and Buffalo. This is going to be dandies. But Shanahan is hard on these guys. And they're Ricky Pearsall and Debo and all these guys, they play hard for Shady. That's one thing. We keep saying this. I keep saying this. As much as people want Shanahan out of here and say he's a high-level loser and he's not a head coach. You saw the video on Twitter where somebody's filming him on the sideline to himself and saying he's not a coach. It was like, he's not a head coach. Look at him. He's just in the tablet.
Okay. No, I didn't. So explain this to me.
You didn't see the video?
No.
I know you saw this video.
No. I've been kind of off Twitter.
Somebody posted this on. They were at the game in Tampa Bay,
or
just filming Shanahan on the sideline.
So they're in the stands.
In the stands, filming Shanahan on his tablet.
As a fan.
For about 90 seconds, saying, look at him. He's not a coach. He's not talking to anybody. He's not talking to players. He's in his iPad, blah, 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 blah. But that's not even the point. I don't even give a damn about that.
We isolated Shanahan from a
video. This is what they do.
And let me guess, the responses were that he's not a rah-rah guy?
I saw some beat writers that's not even a point. I don't even care.
Okay.
I don't even want to go down that road. My point is, this locker room, as much as we get on Shanahan, and as much as people want to say he's not the guy, and he should be on the hot seat, and maybe he should be fired, which is just totally ridiculous. I may add, it's ridiculous to even suggest that. He's yet to lose his locker room. In the face of adversity, again, I just highlighted all these things that happened in the last segment here. He's yet to lose his locker room. They still play their asses off for this guy. So we're going to get maximum effort for this team from going all the way through here. Guys are playing hurt. Guys are playing beat up. Guys want to win. One thing you got to give Shanahan credit for after that Tampa Bay game, it's another thing I learned. He's yet to lose that locker room. He's got those guys.
That's a good point.
Those guys play hard for him, man.
It's a really good point, actually. I just think we underrate that. And
we do.
Especially when you've had heartbreak the way that they've had. I could see where guys see, like, this is kind of the end of the road here, you know, and not that they give up. Nobody's giving up, but, you know, you have your own side mission, and the side mission is I need to get one more contract elsewhere, you know, and that is a reality for a lot of teams in a lot of different sports. It doesn't seem to be the case here, and that's why, like, the Debo kind of losing his mind, I think lost in the sauce, like, Debo still really cares about winning. Dog, make a kick. Like, it's just pretty straightforward to me. Like,
just don't put your hands on him.
No, you didn't agree. Have to do all that. I'm not even condoning it.
And give Debo credit. Look, I don't like the fact he put his hands on Tabor Pepper.
I'm not condoning it.
But he put his hands on Tabor Pepper and just walked away. He walked away. It was like, you know what? Tabor's going to pop off. I'm walking away.
In the heat of battle, sometimes teammates, you black out. You do things. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying, like, in the words of Brady, the whole entire franchise rests in every throw, every handoff, every punt, every kick. And people's lives are literally changing with a missed field goal, with a botched snap. Literally. And so, no, I do understand the tensions being at an all-time high. I'm not saying it was right, but, like, my God, like, at least somebody cares.
Here's Shanahan. Did Debo overreact to Tabor Pepper?
Yeah, you can't throw whatever type of punch that was. You can't do that. I mean, you know, Debo, where Tabor overreacted is what I was saying is, because Debo wasn't saying anything bad to the kicker. And Tabor was overprotective of the kicker, which I like his intentions, but, you know, he misinterpreted it, and he got too close to Debo, which was irritating to Debo. And there was other ways he could have got him out of his face instead of the way he did. But there was nothing between Debo and Jake, and to watch him kind of graze Pepper and fall into Jake and just look like that he's punching Jake because he missed a field goal, you know, that could have been avoided. I didn't mind at all what Debo said to Jake, and Jake didn't mind it either. But regardless of what happens, you don't throw a punch, and you see what happens when that happens.
So Shanahan basically said the same thing we just said. Don't throw a punch. If we get the fire, you don't want to get in people's faces. It's the heat of battle. It's 90 degrees out there. It's hot as hell. We're off a bye week. We're trying to get a win to turn this damn season around. I need you to make a kick, dog. I need you to lock in and make a kick. And you know what? I love Shanahan's post-game speech. He shouted out Jake Moody. If we could pull it, I'll send it to the thread.
Yeah.
But isolating Jake Moody in the post-game speech in the locker room.
He was smart.
Hey, Jake. That was a testament to mental strength. You dealt with it on the fly. You made the damn kick. Nah, it didn't go down the middle, but you made the damn kick.
He said right down the middle, and I was going, I didn't think that was down the middle at all. But that's what you have to say as a coach. Bonte, again, it wasn't like he missed one kick and Debo lost his mind. They muffed a punt. Okay, they've had 7 of the 9 games that they've played with horrific special teams issues. Okay, as a whole, and he missed not one, not two, 3 field goals. This was after the 3rd one. So, like, I'm not saying that what he did was right. I'm saying, like, come on, guys. Like, that, all of that context does matter. Not just like, oh, my God, Debo's just losing his mind. Like, no, it's deeper than that. And I get the frustration. Hey, we're stalling out. For whatever reason, we can't seem to get the ball in the end zone. Mm-hmm. And then we get an opportunity to put 3 up on the board. We can't even do that. Like, yeah, tensions are at an all-time high.
Yeah, there are. There are. And they're going to be high this Sunday. Because Seattle's coming in desperate. And the Niners have beat them 6 straight times. And they've owned the Seattle Seahawks over the last 3 to 4 years. Owned them under Kyle Shanahan. Brock Purdy's yet to lose to Seattle. Don't you think they're tired of hearing that? About that up there in the Pacific Northwest?
I just can't think about how one-sided this rivalry's been.
It's flipped. It's completely flipped.
Since they joined the NFC West, I mean, early on it was Seahawks and the Niners. But, like, They went 17 and whatever, 17 and 3 after Russell Wilson was drafted. And it feels like the Niners have dominated them. Dominated them now for what, 4 straight years?
6 straight times, plus a playoff win. Let's go to Joe in Sacramento. Joe.
So one-sided.
Joe in Sacramento. Joe? Hold on. Let me pull him up here. Let me pull him up on my mouse. Can I pull it? No. Love it. Get Joe and Sack on here. There we go. Hello. What's up, Joe?
Hello. I'm calling to talk about the unsung hero for this team, you know, 3rd and Juwan. If he didn't fight for those 5 extra yards at the end of that game, if he didn't jump on that fumble, that Purdy threw it down on the floor that game. I mean, the guy is just balling on a minimal contract extension that we just got him on. I mean, you know, special teams, what can we say? We've been talking about it all week, you know?
Hey, real quick on the contract. Yes, compared to the other two wide receivers, it's minimal. He's actually the highest 3rd wide receiver salary in the league currently. Just to be accurate. But here's what I would say to you. He's giving you the production of, like, this is going to be his best season by far. His career total, most ever in a season, catches 56 in 2022. He's already at, 56 targets, 35 catches. He's already at 32 catches, almost 500 yards. I mean, he's having a monster year this year, Juwan Jennings. Monster year.
Yeah, he's balling. He's going to play the X, and... You know, I did think about Brandon Ayuk, and you hope Brandon Ayuk gets right.
What did you think?
I've just, the way they botched that situation and never got right with them, because I was excited about seeing Ayuk and Pearsall and Deebo in 3 wide sets, but now I'm equally as excited to see Juwan Jennings and Ricky Pearsall and Deebo Samuel 3. And the way they used the passing game last week, Purdy throws for 353, Brady called it the sneakiest 353 or the quietest 353. They used Deebo as the underneath wide receiver last week. Hey, get 5 yards, get 6 yards, get 5 yards, get 6 yards. Tough to tackle. I like the way they used Deebo in the pass game last week. Didn't ask him to run mini routes down the football field, but try to get him just in little windows underneath within the 5 to 10 yard range and just let him make some plays.
Can I examine something, though? You're alluding to Ayuk. Why the pivot? And I'm not saying that you've pivoted off
I'm not,
him.
I'm
saying,
not pivoted
like,
off of
do you
him.
Think, do you think now with a little bit of retrospect that they wanted to trade him, that they should have traded him?
Well, they botched the situation. I'll be consistent with what I said all offseason, was you made a poor decision by letting the leaguer in the training camp.
Yeah.
Because you affected the football team, you affected Brock Purdy, you affected Brandon Ayuk. Who knows? Maybe that injury is preventable if he does go to training camp. But then again, he got hit so bad that it's probably not preventable. And, you know, football's football. You can get hurt on every single. It's very unfortunate.
Yeah, I just think it's unfortunate.
But they botched the situation and how they navigated. Like, if you're going to make a decision on him, just move on. Just move on. And it lingered so damn long. And I get it. You want to keep premium players. Now, I didn't bite him in the ass. But they did the same thing with Jimmy Garoppolo. And I wasn't a fan with the way they handled the Jimmy Garoppolo situation. Now it worked out because Trey Lance got hurt in week 2 and you had Jimmy right then and there. But, man, it just didn't sit well with me.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not knowing your own talent.
Well, knowing what we know now, like, Juwan could take on bigger load. I don't know if they thought that he could at the time. I don't know. I mean, I know they gave him, you know, a decent extension.
Right.
Maybe they were going to, like, slow play, you know, Pearsall.
Maybe.
Now he's forced into action. Well, and I'm looking at him God, he looks really good.
Or if Pearsall was available for training camp, maybe Brandon Ayuk would have been in Pittsburgh.
Oh, see, okay. Huh.
Because Pearsall looks like a player. But you can't bet on a rookie wide receiver when he's not on the field at training camp.
Yeah,
you can't go into week 1 without Brandon Ayuk. So I'm not saying I regret the deal because I hope Brandon Ayuk gets back. And now if he gets back and he's able to go, now you got Ayuk and Pearsall. These are 2 damn good route runners here. Wow.
Well, they're going to have to overcome not only, his loss on the field, the contract, you know, like next year, it's going to be probably a chunk of whatever training camp, and who knows how long it bleeds into the season. He's got a really bad knee injury.
Bad.
And I feel horrible for him. And they've sunk a lot of money into him, and so they need him to come back and be 100%. They cannot mess this up where they rush him back and then he re-injures that leg. I mean, it's As of last week, he had said that he still hadn't gotten the surgery, right? The swelling? And
yeah, swelling's still up, so he'll get it done. He'll get it done at some point. He'll get
just
right.
Horrible.
But moving forward here with this wide receiver core, Pearsall making those big plays on the final drive is a massive development. I think we've underrated how big those catches were on the final drive. The route running to get open, to have a wherewithal to make a play on the final drive when you got to win. You're not trying to go to overtime down there in Tampa Bay. You want to get the win right before regulation and get out of there with the win. And the fact that he made two massive catches on that final drive.
And the big touchdown play earlier.
And then you get the big play from Juwan Jennings on the final drive where he has a wherewithal to not go out of bounds, to pick up 5 to 10 extra yards, knowing that his field goal kicker is struggling. So let's make this field goal as easy as possible for Jake Moody. And you have George Kittle and you have Debo underneath with Christian McCaffrey. Now I think you can start to get back to the offense you had a season ago. I think this is a massive development with Ricky Pearsall. You got something here. You got something with this guy. And then, not to mention, sprinkle in some Jacob Cowing here and there. And now you got a dynamic offense that looks a little quicker than last year. You're athletic, and there's not much of a drop-off. You got to score touchdowns. But what I'm seeing here moving forward, and that development last week of Pearsall balling in Tampa Bay, I think is a great, great, great development for the 49ers.
I didn't think he would contribute much at all this year. He's already in the one game. He's already done more than in terms of impacting winning than what I thought. I'm talking about after getting shot. You know, when you get shot and it goes right through you, you're inches away from dying. Yeah. I didn't think he would be a factor this year at all. And I think that was just a basic point of view. I don't think that's some hot take. I think most people were like, damn, dude, if he's even healthy enough to come back and play. The fact that he's making winning plays on the game-winning drive and the biggest touchdown at the time of the game, this is a shocking thing. And I thought it was really cool that the kid who went to Florida for college scored his first touchdown in Florida. Yeah. I thought there was a lot of cool stuff that was happening in that game. I know we kind of got lost with all of the drama, but Pearsall is a huge development. The fact that Purdy trusts him, that's why I love Purdy. If you're open and you're going to make plays, I'm throwing to you, dude.
It was a great development for Ricky Pearsall. Let's go to Manny on the Dumbarton Bridge. Manny, what's happening?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Happy Free Friday. But I just wanted to jump on because you got to look for the positive in every day, man. I was just trying to jump on because I don't know if you all heard me mention it sometime back, but I coach special teams, and I take umbrage to what I saw on Sunday, only because there were times on the sidelines where my coaches, I got an earful from, what kind of formation are you running, why are your players doing this and that, and you just take all the blame when things are going bad. And you don't get too much credit when things go good. I mean, I gloated one day, man. There was one time my kick return took it back to the house, and I just was floating on air. Like, I actually designed that play. Here's what I want to say, guys. With Jake Moody, Debo getting on him, saying, hey, lock it in and do this and that and do your job. Even the fans were saying, you have one job to do. Go ahead and do it. And I get that. I respect that. But here's the thing, and Chasky, you touched on it. If Debo, you did your job, guess what? He's not coming out there making field goal after field goal after field goal after field goal after field goal attempt. Y'all be settling for that easy one-point conversion, right? So what the Niners need to do is not settle for field goals. That has always plagued the Niners since the days of guess what? Mike Kofor was a journeyman kicker until he got to the Niners. Why did he last 5 years with the Niners and nowhere else? It's because, hey, Mike, it's nice to have you on the team, but we'll call you when we need you, okay? Now let's go score touchdowns. And that's what the Niners need to start doing. I know it's easier said than done, but in all fairness, don't be too hard on Moody. Yes, he has that job to do, but you know what? Only when he absolutely has to should he be counted on. Everybody else, get in the damn red zone or end zone. That's all.
You just cut him off? What happened? I'm with you, Manny, on the DeBart Bridge. Score some damn touchdowns. The red zone rating, it's not pretty. It's 47% red zone efficiency. 47%. to not score touchdowns. He's right. Get in the damn end zone.
But it's crazy.
It's also on Shanahan, too, to be a little more creative in the red zone.
I agree. They are moving the ball, though.
They're moving. They're second in total yards behind Baltimore.
So, like, it's just, I just.
So, knowing that that's left on the table, if they could start getting into the end zone. They're 28th right now in red zone efficiency. The only teams worse, Green Bay, the Rams, Dallas Cowboys, and the New York Giants.
Wow.
And they're behind New England. They're behind Tennessee. So they need to figure this out in a heartbeat. They need to figure this out in a hurry. Getting into that end zone here. Because they got teams like Buffalo coming up. You know, you got to figure this thing out. Arizona scored touchdowns in the red zone with Kyler and James Conner and Trey McBride at tight end. You got to do that. That's what's left for the offense here. Just scoring more touchdowns.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And then, you know, I know George Kittle has got an injury, and they're kind of going day-to-day with him. God, they need him bad. Like, they
hamstring
need him
irritation?
They need him in the worst way. What exactly does that mean?
I don't know. Hamstring irritation. His hamstring is irritated.
So we have bilateral Achilles tendonitis and hamstring irritation. Wow.
Well, we also need to talk about special teams, because I want to hear this from Shanahan on how hard it is to improve special teams. I want to hear this answer from Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, it's, you know, we devote a lot of meeting time and a lot of practice time. You know, we don't double down on that, the time spent on it, because I feel like we do as much as we can. We have mixed a lot of guys in there. We do feel like guys have gotten better, but it only takes one mistake to cost somebody, and it only takes one person. You know, you look at the Seattle game that we had last time, you know, if you go back and you watch all the film, I thought that was one of our chances to have our best special teams game of the year. You know, we caused two turnovers, got both of them. Only one counted, you know, with the replay stuff. But we had one missed tackle and a big kick return. And then they had that second one, and you just have those two plays, and it can cost you a game. So I do think guys are getting better and stuff, but we got to make sure that we don't make those dumb plays where we can cause a penalty, where we can cause a turnover. And those are the things that we really got to clean up.
That was Shanahan on this. They are practicing more on special teams. So they practice special teams. 3 hours or just 2 hours? Or just 30 minutes? Or one period?
It's like, hey, your CYO team, we're going to stay back after and we're going to run Vegas's.
No.
It's like, what are we doing? Questions, poor Shanahan. Well, you got to think, like, he's thinking to himself, I got all the way here. I have been studying football since I was knee-high to a grasshopper on my daddy's lap. And I'm taking questions about, are you practicing more or harder on special teams? And I'm not mad at the question, but God, he's got to be thinking to himself, I got to give a stupid answer to this.
Well, how hard is it to improve special teams, Kyle Shanahan?
That's real difficult. I mean, you got the choices you got, and as guys get in right when you get comfortable with somebody, and you know, you start out the year playing a lot of young guys, and you think they'll get better as the year goes, and then some of your vets get hurt, and now those young guys are, you know, starters, and so that bumps other guys up, and you know, it hurts their development when they tried to do both because they needed a lot more reps, but as they get more pressure on them for offense and defense, it's tough. You got guys like, you know, even like Jordan Mason, he was one of our best special teams players last year, and you know, he's been our starting running back for 8 of the games until last week. So all that stuff is a trickle-down effect. You know, you try to get practice squad guys up who you think can help, but they better, you know, one guy gets hurt and they don't know a position that can cost you a game too. So all that's challenges everyone has with special teams. You also aren't going to do a bunch of live stuff and full field stuff because you might get a little bit better, but you'll hurt your team before you even start it. So it's stuff you just constantly harp on, constantly talk about. We get some of the mistakes we made early in the year, which puts all eyes on it, and that's why each little one we do now, it only builds the pressure on those guys. But I do like how they're kind of all committed to fix it, and they're all working real hard, but we got to do better.
He caught himself. He was about to say, but you got to make plays. You can't mess up. And he's like, and he like stopped. Look, they haven't, like, this misnomer that they haven't invested in special teams, they paid George Odom to just play special teams.
I know.
Right? Like, they drafted a punter in the fourth round. They drafted a kicker in the third round. They have invested in special teams. They just haven't been buttoned up. And, you know, here's what I would say. Because I can see, like, you got to fire the special teams coordinator. I mean, like, at what point do we blame the players?
I've been saying that all season. We don't hold players accountable enough.
Okay, early it's in the
coaching,
game.
Coaching. I was arguing about this the first month of the season. Everybody's losing their mind. I'm saying, what about the players dropping passes and missing tackles and fumbling footballs and not containing? At some point, players got to be held accountable by the fan base, you would think.
I don't love Ronnie Bell as a player, but he made a nice play to down a punt early in the game after the first drive. And I was like, great punt, Mitch. Great play by Ronnie. Okay? Now, if Ronnie lets that ball go through his hands and it goes into the end zone, what are we all saying? Both him and Wisnowski stink.
Yeah, get him out of here.
Special teams coordinator sucks.
Get him out of here. Get him out of here. So what's going to be next? You know, we're not talking offensive line these days. That's one thing that's happened with the 49ers. Well,
Dominic Pooney better go to the Pro Bowl.
We're not talking offensive line these days because the offensive line is actually playing well. So that's how you know they're playing well, because we don't get calls on the offensive line no more.
Well, now
we don't get credit, though. But to your point, and we're going to talk about Draymond Green a little bit later. When guys are doing well and they're playing well, you know, we don't give them credit on this show. Like, when the 49ers won at Seattle on a Friday, nobody wanted to call it. It's like, wait, we're not going to give them credit now? We just want to come in and rip these guys left and right? It's not cool. It's not cool anymore to give people credit. It's not cool anymore to say, you know what, you played well. It's not cool anymore to just appreciate some of the things that they've done on the football field. So, what's up?
And you're not hearing that noise in your headphones? I guess it's my headphones. They might be going out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my bad.
No, I didn't hear nothing.
No, I thought I kept elbowing the mic. Apologies.
Oh, maybe that was me.
No, it's a crackling sound. I thought that the microphone was messed up. Only I can hear, so it's probably just my headphones.
Oh, Ali and Sarah Bald. Ali, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going?
Not bad. Not too bad.
Hey, I wanted to say one thing about, you guys were talking earlier in the show about true Niner fans, and I remember the days when we had Tim Rattay as quarterback, so we should be thankful we have a great team. I did want to shout out, like, the signing of Demo this week. I think it's huge. We've waited so long, couple off seasons, waiting to the last week before week one to sign some of our true players, our dogs. And Demo is just a player. I mean, did you see last week against Tampa Bay when he just blocks his defender into the running back and blew up the play? I remember a couple of years when we had a cornerback situation when every time they threw deep, we're like, oh, God, this is going to be P.I. That's all I wanted to say. Love the show. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Demo, 5 years, $92 million. Anybody want to call? 888-957-9570 and share your thoughts on this contract extension. Deamador Lenore, 5 years, $92 million. Now, we don't know about the guarantees. We don't know about the per-year salary or whatnot. What is his? How are you feeling about it? They lock up a corner, folks. 5 years, $92 million. A lot of money.
One thing we'll never say, which we say about the Cincinnati Bengals all the time, oh, the Bengals are cheap. I don't ever want to hear that the Niners are cheap ever again.
People still say that?
Well, people are just idiots, but
did they not see Nick Bosa get a contract extension?
Yeah, but it dragged out.
They didn't see Fred Warner get an extension?
Yes, they did.
Did they see George Kittle?
Yes.
And Debo?
Uh-huh.
And Ayuk?
Trent twice.
And Trent twice. George Kittle?
McCaffrey.
Kyle Juszczyk, McCaffrey?
Yeah.
Who else? Jimmy Ward at one point?
Greenlaw got extended.
Eric Armstead?
Yeah.
Javon Hargrave got paid?
Uh-huh.
Torrey's work got paid.
Uh-huh.
I mean, who hasn't gotten paid that needed to get paid?
T.J. Jones.
There you go.
I'm totally teasing.
Take that seriously. To your point, like, it's you're saying these guys aren't cheap. Like, everybody who Niner fans, like, you got to give that guy the bag. Niners have found a way to get that guy the bag.
They've gotten big-time money. Big-time money. Jed York is shut out, big time money, straight to the bank account.
I mean, at one point, I know they have a cheap quarterback now. At one point, they had the most expensive quarterback room in the NFL.
Exactly.
I believe it was back-to-back seasons.
Yeah. So, I don't know who's saying they're cheap. Maybe they're just a lazy narrative, but that's not the case. Anyway, Niners playing Seattle. We got Mary Leck, Daniel Lurie joining us at 8:30. Talk about the city of Seattle. Well, we'll have some fun with Daniel Lurie. We're going to have some fun.
So the new about-to-be mayor was at the Warrior game.
Yeah, he was at the Warrior game
at Chase Center.
Yeah, he was at the Warrior
Huge
game last night.
Huge sports fan.
He was at the Bruce Mahoney game.
Yeah.
I ran into him before the game with his son. I've seen him at Bay FC games.
Oh,
Daniel
nice.
Lurie is a... He's a native. He's one of us, so we'll talk to him and have some fun with
him. I've got some great questions for him.
We'll determine if they're great or not.
Well, I'm... Jeez.
You can't say they're great
questions.
You can't say they're great questions, and what if they flop? You got to set the bar low. Hey,
as the man who gets the most, wow, that's a great question from guests.
No, you know, dude, I mean, oh like, my gosh.
I think I know what a good question is.
Oh my gosh. You want to check my resume when it comes to that?
You may be the king on this show, but most people think I'm closer to Larry King in terms of interviews.
Charles Barkley once said, I asked him the greatest question he's ever been asked before. And Charles Barkley's
And Barkley always tells the truth.
No. Well, he never gives that compliment to people. I'm just well-rounded.
Okay,
that compliment to me. Anyway. Yeah, you know what? Dwayne Denz was right. I remember everything. There are fans, Kang.
Give me that one more time, please.
I remember everything. That's why I'm the king.
That's why I'm the king?
No, I'm just not the king. See, there's people out there who get really mad about this nickname. I don't know. I get... this so-called guy gave himself a nickname. You little punk.
Wait, a guy on the internet got mad about something?
I was just going to say
that's very unlike people on the internet.
No way.
Hope they don't get injured about it.
It's time for the injury report.
Oh, really?
Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
Mitch Wishnowsky, who a lot of people think was overdrafted, is dealing with some back issues this week and was held out of practice yesterday. Head coach Kyle Shanahan did express some concern for Wishnowsky's back, seeing that the issue has been bothering him for most of the season. The concern was great enough that the 49ers brought in Pat O'Donnell to potentially handle punting duties this Sunday against the Seahawks. Injury report brought to you by Boxer Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. Just when we're talking about special teams, Wishnowsky now dealing with the back injury. Now you got a kicky situation. Where's Percy Harvin at? Where's that guy at? No?
No. I'm sure he's suffering from migraines like I've been.
Not Percy. What's the kicker's name? What was the kicker's name in the preseason? Presley Harvin Jr.
Completely different from Percy Harvin.
Yeah, not Percy Harvin, but the putter. You know what I was talking about.
Well, those names are pretty close, Presley and Percy.
Where's he at?
I mean, I would have signed him. I told you, I would have probably got rid of Mitch, and I would have kept Presley Harvin III.
I wouldn't got
second,
rid of
or whatever he is.
I wouldn't got rid of him. But he was so good, he hasn't gotten a job yet.
Well, you know, these jobs are hard. There's only one of them.
Well, the Niners could have gone back to him. They got Pat O'Donnell. Just ask him, where's Presley?
Pat O'Donnell looks like the Jimmy Garoppolo of punters.
Where's Presley?
Kane's legend, Pat O'Donnell.
Is he a Miami Hurricane?
Yeah. I think he was there, towards the end of my time there. Great punter when he was in college.
Wow, he was there when you were there? He must be old.
I don't know where the he's too old drop is.
Presley Harvin right now.
Old.
He's not on any roster right now. No roster. He was released by the Pittsburgh Steelers, released by the Niners. He's nowhere to be found. They went to Pat O'Donnell. Sounds like a backup quarterback.
He's the brother of Neil O'Donnell.
Mayor elect Daniel Lurie, 8:30. Jake Hutchison, 9:20. That's all coming up in a row. It's brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromise.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
sizes.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.